American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with the capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. It's Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, April 6, 2005. And you guessed it, this is Newsreel, your source for independent media news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And believe you me, it's trying to do that as we speak. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. And my live journal is a great little journal, and I enjoy it a lot. You can get there by going to sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. Go in there. All my links are there. And you'll be able to follow along with me with all the stories and verify that I'm not just lying to you like most other media is. This is a free radio broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio and the Box Music Network. And very soon we're going to be getting a lot more things in line to get things like podcasting happening. I think we're doing a little bit of that right now. But not to worry, there's going to be a lot more networks covering this show, let me tell you. And everybody who picks it off on any network, you're free to distribute that any way you see fit. You can do whatever you like with it. You can hand it out to people you don't know. You can hand it out to your friends. Whatever. We're cool with that here because we're all about free distribution of information. That's what we're about. I don't have any feedback for you today. Didn't get too much. Do have a sort yourself out, which we're going to get to right now. What up, Sean? The only credit I have is from my cell phone. Oh, meaning that what? Like as an credit rating? I guess so. The only credit I have is from my cell phone. Could you suggest good ways to build credit? I'm in my early 20s, never had or wanted a credit card. Is it worth it to get one? What the fuck do I need a credit for anyway? Peace out, the man. Chris. Okay, well, it's kind of like this, Chris. I would advise staying as far away from credit cards as you humanly can. Credit cards are, in fact, a really bad idea. What credit cards are legalized loan sharks. If you cannot pay cash for something, then you can't afford it. And people go, well, then you can't get anything. Well, yeah, because most of our wants, of course, you got to understand in our society, most of our wants are manufactured. We don't really need things. We want things that are the needs are manufactured. Now, certain things, it's getting to the point that you do need them. It's getting to the point where you do need a computer in the modern world. You don't need a computer. You can go to the library. You can use library computers. But if, you know, you want to have some sort of quality of life. So it's understandable that, luckily, computers have come so cheap now that you can pick one up for next to nothing. You know what I mean? So that's pretty good. You can pick one up. Well, not next to nothing. I shouldn't say next to nothing. You can get, you know, one of those little e-machines, and they got a lot of these, you know, low-end computers and stuff like that for about, you know, $600-$800, something like that. But generally, beyond that, I would stay away from any credit card you can. Just save your money and pay cash. They still take cash everywhere. Credit, of course, is used to enslave people. This is all part of debt slavery. And with the new bankruptcy laws that have just come in, of course, they're trying to make debt slavery even harder to escape. These kind of concepts were like, you know, you owe your soul to the company store, you go up to work at a camp, and then the company store sells you things at an exorbitant rate, and then you have to pay back the debt to the company store. Same thing can be said for these new cars we get. Like, even, you know, the Beamers and crap like that. There's no way these cars are worth $80,000. I mean, there's maybe $10,000 worth of equipment and materials involved in the car. And people go, what about the labor? Well, most of it's built by robots now. Really, a lot of the prices of new vehicles that keep going up, 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 a lot of those prices are just simply to line the pockets of automobile manufacturers. And, of course, that kicks right back to oil and all the rest of it. You'll notice that there's a trend that happened, eh? Back in the 50s, it was big cars, then it was little cars. Now then it was back to the big SUVs, now we're back to the little cars. And very soon, you know, the gas crisis will be over again. Because I do think the gas crisis will end. People are all talking about the end of the world and stuff. They'll be like, no, 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 we got lots of gas, blah, blah, blah. And we'll be back to the big cars. Get back to the way it was. That's exactly what it's going to do. And we're getting played. We're getting played totally. But as to the credit card, people go, well, you need a credit card to do anything in modern society. Well, you don't need a credit card to do anything in modern society. You can get around that. If you want to get yourself, like, a credit card, I think Capital One hands out credit cards to anybody. I mean, shit, they gave me one. You know, and they give you like a $50 limit or something retarded like that just to rent a car if you need to do that or something like that. You could use something like that, but I would highly advise not going into debt, because the minute you go in debt, you lose your freedom. Okay? The minute you go in debt, you lose your freedom. You can't just quit your job and go somewhere if you've got a massive debt load, because they'll show up and go, oh, well, and your credit rating. And these people, they harass the shit out of you until you die. So it's a really good idea for you to avoid the credit rating situation altogether. Because after all, I mean, it's kind of a big pain in the ass. You know what I mean? Right off the top on the news, I've got that link to Macromedia's site where you can, it talks about how to disable that PI, which is that program that I talked about yesterday, which says, you know, oh, wow, we're going to track you with cookies, but since you're deleting cookies, we're going to install black ice on your computers that you are too stupid that you know to know how to remove, and so we will do just that. Now, this is kind of a sad thing, because it shows a real contempt for the consumer. It shows a real contempt that you think people are stupid, and that really bothers me. That really does. Now, of course, in a lot of articles, it's no mystery to try to find out where to disable this Macromedia flash, and the Macromedia's even got a how-to on their site there, so I just link straight to that. Make sure you go in there, make sure you turn that off so that you don't get, you know, roped in, and don't fulfill the prophecy of these massive companies and say, oh, yeah, we're just stupid, we don't care. Because we do care, and we do care about our privacy. Now, something that's kind of sexy and hot on the battlefield is we've got a new battle drone. Yes, it's true. For those who found the idea of gun-toting robots a little creepy, you should probably click away right now, because the Army has just finished testing an unnamed ground vehicle, or pardon me, unnamed, unmanned ground vehicle, a UGV, that obliterates its foes with electrically fired grenades. They put a grenade launcher on one of these things. The robot is the same modified Talon UGV that's now on its way to Iraq to watch the back of Stryker armored vehicles on patrol. But instead of carrying an M249 machine gun like the Iraqi-bound Robogrunt, this Talon has been armed with a Metal Storm, armed by Metal Storm Limited. Metal Storm is one of these guys who are just kind of scary. You know, they made a gun that did a million round a minute firearm. That's what they made. It's a little frightening, you know. The robot, which recently wrapped up trials at the Army's Picatinny Arsenal in New Jersey, had 16 shots. But they were big ones, 40mm grenades, and the rounds were loaded for four to a barrel, giving the UGV 10 more shots than traditional systems supply. It was enough to waste a variety of mock opponents, including simulated personnel, an infantry carrier, and a bunker. According to Metal Storm, you can watch the video of the bot off the link on the site here, and eventually the firm thinks it can load the UGV with up to as many as 48 grenades at a time. Now, this, of course, isn't really a robot. It's a drone, right, because it's remote-controlled, probably from within one of these Strykers. While Metal Storm seemed pretty psyched about how the new Picatinny test went, there was a bit of bad news for the company. The demonstration did not include firings from the Dragonfly DP-4X unmanned aerial vehicle, as previously planned, because of operational restrictions and on the range, which prevented in-flight live-fire trials being possible. Metal Storm sobbed. Arrangements are currently being made, and in-flight test firings and demonstrations to be held within the next few months. So, you know, it's really sad and unfortunate that Metal Storm didn't get to fly around in their toy plane meant to kill people, which is, you know, these companies that make weapons, you know, do I think they're bad? No, I don't think they're bad. I don't think Metal Storm's bad. I mean, they're just making weapons, I suppose, so it's sort of an ethical issue. They're trying to make money in an age when everything is war. And can you fault them for that? Can you fault them for trying to make money during times of war? I don't really think you can. I mean, it's I'm not really happy about it, but, I mean, technology must march forward, and I guess if there is a demand for it, they're just simply meeting the demand. And that's kind of a sad, maybe sounds like a cop-out, but it is the truth. It is the truth. And there's more robot news. I got some more robot news here. For robots in 2005, it's a case of same planet, different worlds. In Japan, robot munchkins. Now, there's a lot of robots on the market right now. This article is great because it covers a series of different robots, where the world robot technology is going right now, which is getting a little bit scary. It's getting a little scary. All these robots coming out and stuff like that. The beta level of these robots, it'll either, you know, burn out and go nowhere, or it's going to keep evolving. And I think it'll keep evolving. In Japan, robot munchkins from Sony entertained visitors at the 2005 World Exposition Aichi with synchronized dance routine, while taller robots from Toyota sporting fake feather in its cap toots up tunes on a trumpet held to its synthetic lips. So it's all about the robots at this Aichi Expo. But on the other side of the globe, some very different robots are crawling through the debris in Afghanistan and Iraq, carrying out reconnaissance missions, defusing bombs, and even firing guns under remote control. And this is the robots I just covered. Here in Japan, the Asimo robot built by Asimo robot built by Honda has become a celebrity thanks to its ability to jog, shake hands, and climb stairs. The United States Forrester Miller and Corbett has marketed a SWAT police robot that can climb stairs, break through locked doors with an onboard power saw, and locate suspects with night vision camera. It can even shoot them with the if the robot's human controller operating a safe distance away deems it necessary. Now, I didn't know about that one. I didn't know the cops had police robots. That's a little bit interesting. On October 8th this year, a diverse group of fully autonomous robots, many of them essentially self-driven trucks, will race across southwestern U.S. desert in Defense Advanced Research Association's Grand Challenge with a prize of $2 million in the U.S. government's money for the team whose device can navigate up to 280 kilometers of desert terrain, featuring natural and man-made obstacles, the fastest time under 10 hours. Now, it's interesting to me that there's so much, you know, push, you know, autonomous. And the reason for this, they're saying, of course, is safety of the troops. Very soon, once we remove all the people from the equation, it's just going to be rich people and the robots, right? You know, you got 500,000 rich people and robots to do all the work, and then it's a perfect utopia for these 500,000 people. Now, this may sound like a lot of paranoia to you, but honestly, when you look at it, if you just follow this trend, where is all this robotic labor? When the technology catches up, do you think the people in power are going to use robots or are they going to use individuals? No, they're going to be using robots, obviously, because you don't have to deal with all the problems and, you know, labor laws and everything else that deals with having to have people. So the question remains, what's going to happen to the people? Well, you're going to have people who don't have jobs, and then they'll be starving, and then they'll be desperate, and then they'll be robbing, and the crime rate will go up, and then we'll need more battle droids, and on and on and on and on. So maybe we'll wind up creating a problem with these robots, I think. And I don't know if there's... I know the Foresight Institute is out there talking about the advance of nanotechnology and where that's going to go. But I would be concerned about this thing with robots because you never know where that could take you. It's a little bit weird. Now, as you may or may not know, library cards are being used to track you. Whatever books you take out of the library is being recorded in a database, and this is also going into the Matrix. That's a huge, massive database program that tracks every single thing you do. And is it a good idea to trade your liberty for security? No, it is not. There is no reason for you to be observed as closely as the government wants you to do this. So it's really not very good at all. There's a whole slew of reasons which would take the rest of this hour for me to go over them. But, you know, suffice to say, all you have to do is just a tiniest little bit of research online. You'll find out why it's bad for people to track every single thing that you do. But now they got a method for tracking PDFs. PDFs, of course, are the method of document lockdown that they use online so that when you download something so you can't, you know, rip all the contents. They're easy enough to crack. You can get around them. But they, you know, make it so that you can't really, you know, alter the text or whatever, so they make it into a PDF. And it seems that now they've got a method of tracking PDF documents online, so therefore seeing what you read online or download in PDF format, so therefore it's kind of like a way to, kind of a library card for PDF documents. A really bad idea, to be sure. On Thursday, Toronto-based company Remote Approach, I'm sorry that it's another Canadian company, announced the launch of its inaugural solution, an online service that provides its clients with the ability to track and administer PDF documents through a variety of distribution channels. A user uploads the PDF they want to track to Remote Approach, assigning variables like distribution channels and groups and additional detail to the data captured. From then, they can download and distribute the PDF as desired, said John Beebley, president of Remote Approach Incorporated. Every time the PDF is read, it briefly interacts with the reporting repository to record the event. Oh, boy. So every time you open it, the minute you open this PDF, it phones back home and goes, I've been opened. The user has access to live reports and data to see reports on views, distribution by channel, or user group, or even download the logs and other systems and applications, Beebly said. According to Beebly, clients of the service are already using it in several ways. Some simply wish to know whether their customers actually read or forward a client's PDFs after downloading them from a client's website, while others engage in peer-to-peer marketing want measurable data on whether their available PDF is being effective, given that traditional web analysis can't measure such data. Oh, well, it's very useful for business. It's also extremely, extremely dangerous due to all the PDF documents that are books online. Using our service, our clients have been able to gauge the depth of their document penetration through peer-to-peer networks. They can use this data and reports to measure the effectiveness of their budget, identifier, blah, 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 blah. Forest Researching Principal Analyst Bob Markham said that while applications exist are similar to remote approaches, he's not aware of any other solution that is subscription-based. Beebly said that designing the solution as web-based was intentional. So, it seems to me then that as we get more and more of our access to information being tracked, eventually it'll become limited. Because as everyone knows, the first step to control is registration. So, you know, they want to try to stop us from being able to share information, to share knowledge. And you know that eventually there will come a day when someone will knock on my door here at the Newsreel Studios and say, you know what, John, you're off the air. We don't like what you got to say. We don't like that you're not playing along with the rest of the scheme. We don't like the fact you're filling all these kids' heads with all this crazy information that you spit out on the web every day. We just don't like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to grab you, we're going to sue you, and then when you can't pay these massively exorbitant legal rates, we're going to put you in jail, and the whole thing will be legal. And then, you know, you get lost somewhere, and someone inside the jail takes you out, and it's not our fault. And that's exactly where we're at right now. And if you don't think we are, you need to wake up, because this is a very dangerous time. When they're tracking what you see, hear, and read, and beginning to limit that more and more and more, and they're getting, we're not educated anymore. It's all bright lights and flashy. Flashy bright lights, oh, distraction, distraction. Terry Schiavo. I mean, it's like a Street Fighter game. Seriously, you just get smacked all over the place, and you don't know what's going on. You're like, Terry Schiavo, Michael Jackson. Seriously, you don't know what's happening in the world. We're not getting real information. We're only getting the information. If you go online, you got a hope. You got a prayer if you go online, because you can get some of these, like, Guerrilla News Network, and you got, like, Indie Media, you got Ranch, you got me. You got a bunch of stuff out there where people, whether or not they succeed, at least they're trying. At least they're trying to get you information that is, you know, unbiased. You know, granted, you know, some of these GNN and stuff like that, some of those views aren't exactly what I would call unbiased. And I would be far to say that I myself am an unbiased reporter. But, I mean, at least we present the other side of the coin. You know, there's something to be said for that. There's a lot of these, you know, left-wing, hardcore, liberal, psycho reporters that make me want to slap. You know, really, I just, you know, die. But, you know, Terry Schiavo, you know, it's one of those kind of things where you have to bear in mind that everything is tempered. Everything is tempered with your own personal reason. And everything in the media now, especially in the news and especially on TV, wants you to believe that you don't have any responsibilities at all. If you're feeling bad, it's because you're depressed, and that's a sickness, and therefore you need to take pills. If you can't get a job, it's because your education wasn't up because of the economy, blah, 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 blah. There's all these reasons why nothing is your fault. Have you found that? Have you found that? Think about things in your life right now. There's all these things that are or are not your fault. Now, I'm not trying to get you depressed. Well, if everything's my fault and everything's crap. No. I think it's very liberating to realize just how much responsibility you can have if you just choose to accept it. If you choose to accept responsibility for your diet, for how you live, for the choices you make, for the clothing you wear. Well, I have to wear these shoes because they were the cheapest shoes available and they were the only shoes at Walmart, so I bought those shoes. Do you see how that works? If you put just a little bit of effort around so you don't have to cater to the core political mindset, you can set yourself free. You can set yourself free. Now, the only way that they can stop that and stop the independence of life, and especially of human life and of intelligent first world human life, okay, where people have choices. Like in third world nations, they don't got a lot of choice. You know, I've got so much respect for people in third world countries. Like these people who get up in the morning, look after their six kids, you know, and then go to work in the fields all day, grueling, desperate work. And then they come home, feed their children, you know, sing a few songs, maybe teach them how to read, and then go to bed. Like, that's staggering to me. I can't fathom that. And these people have more strength in their hands alone than an entire section of Special Forces soldiers. I mean, don't ever think for a half a second that I would belittle anyone in third world nations. I would do anything to help these people because they are amazingly strong people, resilient, tough, beautiful people in these lands that are getting bombed into insanity. And of course, if you notice this, well, you know, you're obviously got problems, don't you? You're obviously crazy. You're insane. And now all you have to do is have one little emotional episode, one tiny little emotional episode, just like what Pink Floyd said in The Trial, the song at the last, one of the last songs on the Wall album. You know, he's convicted of showing emotions. You know, this is all coming to pass now, where we don't want people with emotions because emotions are variables. And if you're emotional, obviously you're insane. And that's the next story here. I got insanity FUD. Tosin Ogunder is a young black man with a mental illness. Another statistic in a growing list. Now listen to this, okay? Listen to how this has been spun. I'm taking this, I think it's from the BBC here. As the government announces new action to tackle racism and mental health, there's a concept, campaigners warn that there are more black youths entering the system and getting different treatments from their white counterparts. Now, I'm actually going to talk about that, and I know that Sam's going to be listening real close. Tosin, age 27, okay, so he's only a couple years younger than me, has had his first episode of manic depression at 23, and it's been sectioned three times since that. Now, I'm guessing that section does not mean that they hold him down and cut him into quarters. I think what it means is that he's been institutionalized, but they call that sectioned, which I don't know which sounds better, sectioned or institutionalized. He said he had a good report with his GP, general practitioner, but admits his ethnicity could have affected the way he was treated at the hospital. He admits his ethnicity could have affected the way he was treated. Could have. So he doesn't think he was racially discriminated against. But whatever. Let's implant that seed. I think they probably treated me differently. I wasn't treated badly. There was a lack of cultural awareness. Now, bear in mind, I put it to you that if you're in a nut house, it really doesn't matter what culture you are because you're crazy. Student athlete Tosin first noticed problems with his health when he began preparing for the big race. He was unable to sleep and spent time watching music videos and listening to songs. How many of us out there have been unable to sleep, so we jump online, listen to music, watch movies, and listen to songs? How many out there do that? Because he was preparing for a big race. Some stress there. Later, the police picked him up dancing in the street. So he was not sleeping. Everything went sideways. He goes out, and the cops pick him up for dancing in the street. Now, was he doing anything wrong? No, he was dancing in the street. Last time I checked, dancing in the street isn't a crime. It's okay to be eccentric. It's okay to wear Hawaiian shirts for no reason. It's okay to, you know, make a, I don't know, a flower part out of a toilet and put it in your front yard. Why not? What the hell? This is called creativity and art and expression and release, and there's a whole bunch of benefits that come from that. But I'll get back to that. They thought he'd been taking steroids and took him to the hospital where he was found to be clean. Well, obviously, he's on steroids. He's an athlete. Doctors diagnosed his condition, and he was sectioned. Bang! Just like that. Dancing in the street, you go to the nut house. He spent the next 3 months in the hospital. 3 months! Now he does voluntary work with the Manic Depression Fellowship and is looking for a job after completing his degree in computing and information systems. Well, good luck finding a job now, because there's a news story out there saying that you're fucking crazy. So, now, I've oftentimes wondered, because there are certain ethnic groups. Okay, now I'm going to get into this. Look out. Sean's talking about race. Now, right off the cuff, I want you to temper everything out there with the fact that I view no group, ethnic group whatsoever out there in the world. I don't think one is better than the other. Up until very recently, very, very recently, I don't think they should ask you about your ethnic background when you apply for a job, because I don't think it matters. I think your race matters about as much as your eye color, honest to God. Now, it can be said that different people, doesn't matter what race they are, different people have different genetic predisposition. For example, if I showed up for a basketball tryout and, say, Air Jordan showed up for a basketball tryout, then I would guess just a hunch here, that Air Jordan would win. And why is that? Well, because he has got all the God-given talents to, you know, fly a million feet and dunk basketballs, which is cool, and God love him, you know what I mean? So there are certain people, I find, like, you cannot deny the amount of, what's the correct term for this now? How do you refer to black people now? Like, you know, because as a white person, I'm scared shitless to call black people black because you're thinking, you're a racist, they're calling them black, you know? But, so I'm just going to do that. I'm going to be straightforward and understand that none of this is meant in a slur in any way, okay? So there's a lot of black people in sports. You can't really deny that, okay? It would seem to me, since there's this massive volume of black people in sport, that these people lend themselves very well to physical sports. I mean, the genetic predisposition, maybe these people, like, they can pack on, black people are able to put on more muscle or something like that. I don't know. There's got to be a reason. It's not a coincidence. There's got to be a reason why that's there, and I think that's fantastic. I think that's idolized. It's amazing. You know, what a fantastic genetic trait to be able to do that. I think that's wonderful. Also, I've noticed that there are certain groups from around the world, like people in South America and stuff like that, there's a lot more, they seem to be, and maybe this is just me now, but I found that people in South America are very loving people. They're very family oriented, very grounded people. People in India and the Far East and all that region, the more into that area you go, in the, like, the mountains of China, Tibet, very spiritual people. In Tibet, prior to 1950, this is quite a stat. In Tibet, prior to 1950, when the big, you know, takeover happened there, one quarter of the population in Tibet was completely devoted to spiritual pursuits. That's all they did all the time, was like trying to find, you know, inner meaning in life. That was their gig. One quarter of the population in that country, in Tibet, was doing that. Now, I ask you, maybe certain people have, you know, from their descendancy or their ethnic background, have a genetic propensity for strengths and weaknesses in certain areas. And I don't care about what their weaknesses are. Everybody's got weaknesses. Who cares? But I'm interested in their strengths. I mean, holy cow. You know, there's always the joke you always hear about German physicists, right? And German engineering. Maybe German people are, you know, they just kind of figure out that whole engineering thing better. Maybe that's the way it is. Maybe the Japanese really are better with technology. You know, maybe there's something in their brains that is part of being Japanese that they just, you know, they can just ninja the fuck out with all this tech. And I think that's groovy. I think we should, you know, probably look at that and try to increase the strengths of that rather than always playing on the weaknesses. But the problem is, when you start looking at strengths, of course, you start developing weaknesses as well, and then you run into eugenics and all the insanity that comes from that. So it's a bit of a go. It's a bit of a bad one here. But something I have discovered is, like, all you got to do is go to a Christian church full of white people, and they're like, oh, Lord, we are here, you know, and everything is cool, and we love you. We love you, God. Oh, Lord, let us pray. Oh, Lord, we love you. You are so big, so absolutely huge. We're all very impressed down here, let me tell you. Okay, that's your white church. If you go to, like, a black Southern Baptist church, these people are freaking the fuck out. They're singing. There's people dancing. I can't even dance like the choir dance. They're all like, oh, praise God. It's amazing down there. Okay, it's just incredible, and these people are full of life and love and celebration. It's fantastic. You know, and I look at that, and I go, maybe, you know, people who aren't white, are a little bit more connected to reality than white people are. Maybe that's just a thought. Maybe it's because, you know, we grew up in, like, weird, you know, our descendancy is all, like, Nordic or something, or maybe, I don't know, where do white people come from originally? You know, there's a question for you. Maybe that whole European thing, we're not really, like, loving and emotional and vibrant and all this kind of stuff, whereas other cultures around the world, they don't try to run from it. Maybe that's what it is. You know, culturally, we are the most restrictive culture. Like, European culture is extremely restrictive. All you got to do is go look at the French Renaissance, and everyone's in corsets and everyone's tied up and makeup and disguising. It's like this weird self-loathing. Whereas you go to third world nations and it's a celebration. Life is this huge celebration. And now, as the world is globalizing, we're trying to enforce this restrictive, constrained outlook of reality on these beautiful spiritual people who are in other countries. And of course they're like, whatever, dude, we live for love and happiness in our family, and you live for money and repression and all this stuff. So obviously you're going to have a problem trying to force square pegs in round holes. It's not going to work. It doesn't mean that we're better. It doesn't mean that they're better. It doesn't mean that, well, actually, you know what? I'll go on the record here. I will say that living an emotional and spiritual life that's full of love, life, and happiness is better than the George Orwell dream of, you know, medicated drones. I'll go on record. If that makes me a racist to say that, then fine. But you can't even talk about crap like this. You can't. I'm not a racist. Anybody who knows me knows that. But you can't even talk about the yes aspect where we're obviously very different. We're obviously very different. The spirituality, you know, you take a person from Tibet, you take a person from China, a person from Japan, a Native American, an African American. You take all these different people and you put them all in a room. They're obviously different people. So there must be some different traits in between them. Maybe we could find a way to strengthen that rather than try to make everyone fit into one mold through medication. That's my point here. And maybe it's a dream. I have a dream as well. So it's a scary, scary world that we're getting into, this pharma fascism where everyone has to toe the party line or you get medicated through the floor. Scares the shit out of me, I gotta tell you. Now, moving past that, let's talk about electric cars. And more importantly, let's talk about hacking electric cars. Ron Gremban and Felix Kramer have modified a Toyota Prius so it can be plugged into a wall outlet. Now, I didn't know that the Toyota Prius couldn't be plugged into a wall outlet, but apparently it can't. And of course, Toyota's pissed about them making their car plug into a wall. I don't know why they would be, because my fucking car, I paid like God knows how much money for it, and so therefore mine, I'll cut it into scrap if I want. The company spent millions of dollars persuading people that a hybrid electric cars like the Prius never need to be plugged in and work just like normal cars. So has Honda, which even ran a commercial that showed a guy wandering around his Civic Hybrid fruitlessly searching for a plug. But the idea of making hybrid cars that have an option of being plugged in is supported by a diverse group of interests, from the neoconservatives who support greater fuel efficiency to utilities salivating at the chance to supplement oil with electric. Oh, I see what they're saying here. Okay. If you were able to plug in a hybrid overnight, you could potentially use a lot less gas by cruising for long stretches on battery power only. But unlike purely electric cars, which takes hours to charge and need frequent charging, you would not have to plug it in if you did not want to. I've gotten anywhere from 65 to 100 miles per gallon, said Mr. Gremban, an engineer at CalCars, a small non-profit group based in Palo Alto, California. He gets 40 to 45 miles per gallon driving his normal Prius. And Energy CS, a small company that has collaborated with CalCars, has modified another Prius with more sophisticated batteries. They claim their Prius gets to 180 miles per gallon and can travel more than 30 miles on battery power. Now, this is just people taking tech, hacking it, re-engineering it, and making it better. And, of course, the corporation's like, no, you can't do that. If you cover people's daily commute, maybe they'll go to the gas station once a month, says Mr. Kramer, founder of CalCars. That's the whole idea. So, of course, using electricity to augment gas is it's kind of a sketchy thing for these major car companies, because they know there's no oil shortage. They know that. So this whole thing with electricity is just making the mixer more complex. The more complex the mixer is, the easier it is to break down. When the mixer breaks down, that means you need parts. This is all part of planned obsolescence. These Prius and stuff like that, you can bank that they're not going to live 5 years. You know how much maintenance those cars are going to need? They're very complex machines. So the more complex it is, the more maintenance you need, the easier it is to break down, the more money you make from parts. However, if you start modifying it using aftermarket parts, you recreate the backyard mechanic. And they've tried so very hard to destroy the backyard mechanic, haven't they? They've put so much work into killing the backyard mechanic, that evil backyard mechanic, helping people get to where they need to go affordably. So naturally, now they've really done it, because they made a backyard mechanic, and the backyard mechanic can make it so you don't only need to buy gas once a month. Oh, yeah, they're going to hate that, because all the oil companies will be like, whoa, this was a really bad idea. Too late. Already on the market, and I already talked about it. So that means that, hey, maybe there is hope for some of these electric cars. Maybe we can use the electric cars to just fuck the oil companies. Now, the Patriot Act has been officially damned in Montana. In Helena, Montana, lawmakers overwhelmingly passed what its sponsor called the nation's most strongly worded criticism of the federal Patriot Act on Friday, uniting politicians of all stripes. Now, this is very significant. The resolution, which already galloped through the Senate, has passed House 88-12, passed the House at a vote of 88-12, holy cow, Friday, and must survive final vote before it officially passes. Wow. Senate Joint Resolution 19, sponsored by Jim Elliott, says that while the 2005 legislature supports the federal government's fight against terrorism, the so-called Patriot Act of 2001 granted authorities sweeping powers that violate citizens' rights enshrined in both the U.S. and Montanan constitutions. Well, I mean, the Montanan Constitution is nice, but I mean, the U.S. Constitution, hello? The resolution, which does not carry the weight of the law, but expresses the legislator's opinion, okay, that's important, encourages Montana law enforcement agencies not to participate in investigations authorized under the Patriot Act that violate Montana's constitutional rights. Now, that means that law enforcement from Montana can go, you know what, we're not going to back this, and it's kind of a don't ask, don't tell kind of a thing, you know what I mean? So maybe Montana might be a nice state to move to. Mind you, they have some nice land there, too. Really nice people in Montana. It requests all libraries in the state to post a sign warning citizens that under the Patriot Act, federal agents may force librarians to turn over records of books a person has checked out and never inform that citizen of the request. This is also ties back to the PDF story I did. The resolution asks Montana's Attorney General to review any state intelligence information and destroy it if it's not tied directly to suspected criminals. It also asks that Attorney General find out how many Montanans have been arrested under Patriot Act and how many people have been subjected to so-called sneaking peeks or government searches of a person's property without the person's knowledge. This is scary stuff. And this is yet another reason that maybe this is the solution. Maybe the WOG should start doing their own surveillance. Maybe you should watch your own stuff. Make your house, not your home should be your castle. Let's make every home a compound. Let's take every home, make sure that everybody has closed-circuit TV. That's easy enough to do. You can feed in the webcams. You guys want to do stuff on the WOG Coalition? Let's talk about security first and foremost. All these guys running the WOG Clipper, you want to know what you want to do with the WOGs right off the top that can keep these guys busy? Because that's what you need to do, Clipper. You need to keep these guys busy. Otherwise, you know, no one knows what they're doing with the WOG thing. So aside from amassing kit, which is fine, you have to nail down security. And that's true for everyone. That's true for everyone, no matter where you are. We all know the need of computer security. We know that. Okay, we're not going to preach the choir there. But physical security is the reason why LiveJournal went down. Physical security is the forgotten stage of all computer security. So I think that physical security, if all the WOGs just mapped out on physical security, we wouldn't be stolen from. And furthermore, if there was a sneak and peek put against a WOG, well, we'd know about it pretty quick, wouldn't there? And then that becomes a lot more complicated for everyone involved. Sometimes we just take liberty for granted, said Representative Roger Koopman, who keeps a plant called the Liberty Tree on his legislative desk. Koopman said the Liberty Tree was blooming for this bill. And thank God, we're finally getting some stuff on the Patriot Act. But, you know, I noticed there's not a lot of talk about Patriot Act 2. We've got to kill that as well. And I've got a link there on my LiveJournal. If you want to keep track of all the stories regarding the Patriot Act, go to check out patriotdebates.com. You can link out to it off my LiveJournal. And right there, you'll be able to get all the information of what's happening exactly with the Patriot Act and how we can, if there's a way you can send letters or get involved. Definitely the Patriot Act needs to be shot down. As a Canadian, the Patriot Act scares the shit out of me because everything that happens in the States happens in Canada because we can't stand up to American might. Who can? Okay, come on. Let's cut the shit. Everyone's like, Canada, you're like our little brother. Yeah, we are. We are like brothers. Canada and America are like brothers. We talk a lot of shit in the bars about stupid Americans, and I'm sure you guys call us pussies, and everyone's a cheesehead and all the rest of it. Okay, but let's cut the shit. We're all in this together. And the counterculture from across both borders has to stand up and say, you know what, guys, if things get too tight down there, you can come up here. We got a lot of space up here, and you can hide out in our country while your country burns itself the fuck out. But after the country burns out, all the Americans who love freedom will cross the border again and reset up government back in the States, because I think it may go that far. Now, I got a story here on gene filtering. Now, this is some Gattaca editing stuff. They don't call it gene filtering, of course. They call it gene editing. This is not... I'm surprised this is getting more press. But essentially, this is custom babies, is what it is. It's your gene doping babies is what you're doing. A genetic editing process that corrects mutations without weaving foreign genetic material into the chromosome has been demonstrated in diseased human cells for the first time. It could provide a less risky, more effective alternative to gene therapy, which has resulted in leukemia in some patients. A team led by scientists at Sangamo Biosciences in Richard, California, U.S. said they have corrected a single gene mutation that causes the fatal X chromosome linked severe combined immune deficiency, XSID, or bubble boy disease. This is one where the kids go and they're locked inside of a tent forever. The human T cells, they treated the cells in test tubes with the company's proprietary type of zinc finger nucleus and have published the results in Nature. Now, I don't think this is bad technology because it's curing disease. By using different combinations of amino acids, they can be designed to latch onto DNA and exactly the place where the mutated gene lies and cut it up. This triggers the body's natural pair process called homologous recombination, which corrects the gene where the DNA was cut. The researchers provide the cells with a copy of the correct gene as a template. Now, what does that mean? Well, that means that they can take these things that are diseases with gene therapy, and although before it used to produce leukemia, it doesn't seem to do that anymore. Now, this is a good thing. This is a use of gene filtering. Okay, I'm concerned about them using that at a very early level because then you wind up with, you know, cosmetic children. And cosmetic children are a little bit concerning to me because no one ever thinks about the kids. See, that's the really bizarre part. People talk about, you know, well, you know, in that way our kids can learn, blah, 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 but there's no real compassion for children. No one's really thinking about what the kids are going to go through. If you were to have, you know, a Gen Joke child where you filter out all the stuff, which I would do, I've gone on record as saying, I will Gen Joke my kid. I would make sure that they can run fast. I wouldn't add them nothing, but I'd just make what they have better. I do that. My wife might have other ideas. But I personally would fight to have that done because I would want that done with me. However, as we all know from our public school experience, if you're even remotely different from the crowd, interesting trend, if you're even remotely different from the crowd, you are ostracized in school and suddenly become somewhat freakish. And how does that affect you over time? This is all things that have to be taken into account and are not currently. And they busted a cyber criminal. An Estonian man suspected of plundering millions from hundreds of online banks across the country, across Europe, was arrested last week. Now, listen to this story. I've got an interesting comment on this. AP reports that the unnamed 24-year-old, he's 24, and he plundered millions, okay, allegedly used sophisticated Trojan in order to monitor keystrokes on the victim's PCs and extract confidential banking passwords that allow him to plunder online accounts. The unnamed Trojan was bulk mailed to prospective victims in emails that promised lucrative job offers from government institutions, banks, investment firms. In reality, it was linked to webpage hosting malicious code. Investigators reckon the suspect sold millions of euros from bank accounts in Germany, Britain, Spain, and Baltic states. Abby Parr, a spokesman for Estonia's investigations, reckoned that the suspect stole... Oh, sorry. A spokesman for Estonia's Central Criminal Police said that last week's arrest followed a year-long investigation to what he described as the biggest case of online banking theft in Estonian history. The suspect faces fraud charges punishable by up to 5 years imprisonment. 5 years for millions of dollars of stuff? Estonian police were aided in their investigation by IT specialists from the Hansa Bank, as well as Latvian and Lithuanian police. Jan Prisau, an IT risk manager at Hansa Bank, told AP the Trojan used in the scam was the most sophisticated he'd ever seen. The use of malicious code and phishing scams to extract confidential account details from consumers have cost British banks approximately £12 million in 2004. According to an estimate from banking groups APACS published last month, APACS and UK police warn that the use of malicious codes in such attacks is beginning to eclipse conventional phishing attacks in severity. Now, I grant that this guy's probably pretty clever. You know, I'm sure he's a pretty clever guy. But I wonder how many of these banks are filtering cash out to other means, and when the cash is missing, they blame these criminals. So they make the criminal steal some money. The bank people, who like the IT guys or whatever, figure out that more money's being stolen, so they up the amount of money that's stolen by the criminal and then just pocket the rest. You see how that works? It's like if there's a bank robbery, and one of the bank robbers throws a bag full of money into a garbage can, or you drop two bundles of cash in a garbage can, right? Bank robbers leave. You stuff the two bundles of cash in your pocket. The bank robbers walked out with the cash. See how that works? This is not so... I'd like to make sure that these guys getting nailed for these crimes, make sure that that's how much money they actually stole. You know, because it seems a little odd. Maybe the guy's really smart, but to have millions and millions of euros, why would he keep going? Why wouldn't he just take a certain amount of cash and walk? How much is enough? Got to have a target. And thanks to a gag order, we can't know what's happening with the Canadian government thanks to this huge inquiry regarding a scandal that's happening right now. But luckily, I've had someone report it to me, and I've got it for you. The uber-corrupt Canadian government. On Thursday, John Brough began his testimony subject to publication ban and revealed a massive pattern of corruption going on the highest levels of the Liberal Party in government. Brough testified to hundreds of thousands of dollars of bogus transactions designed to benefit the Liberal Party of Canada over a period of 1994 to 2004. That's 8 years. Oh, pardon me, 1994 to 2002, that's 8 years. Most illegal campaign contributions involved Brault either hiring employees who were in fact working full-time on Liberal Party activities or paying invoices for Liberal Party campaign expenses. Brault says he met with Jean-Carl, a key aide to the Prime Minister John Chrétien, to propose a more direct way of ensuring that group action got a large share of federal advertising dollars in Quebec. Carl referred to Brault to federal bureaucrat Charles Chuck Guit and told him that there is room for everybody. Come on in, we got lots of money for everyone. The sponsorship program eventually became a huge slush fund, which over $250 million was poured, over $100 million of which was paid in fee to commissions to these five advertising firms with little or any evidence of work done for money value. In exchange, these large contracts for little or no work, Brault kicked back generously to Liberal Party, putting Liberal organizers on his payroll while they continued to perform party work. This is just a great money laundering scam they got going on here. Towards the end, latter part of the sponsorship program, the friends and associates of Public Works Minister and former Ambassador of Denmark Alfonso Galliano, some of whom were linked to organized crime, played large roles in the schemes. Alfonso Galliano, who's linked with organized crime, is in government here. At one point, Galliano associate Tony Mignacca told Brault that if he didn't rehire Renault, who left Group Action to start a new company, he would lose his newly acquired contract with Via Rail, Canada's state-run passenger rail service. Okay, this is dirty as it comes. This is as dirty as it comes. This is just the beginning of Brault's testimony. If the Gomery Commission can corroborate corroborate Brault, then the reek of corruption goes through all levels of the Liberal Party and may explain their ability to out-campaign the Conservatives. After all, they've siphoned off hundreds of millions of government dollars to promote their own party and guarantee their monopoly on power. They hijacked the Canadian tax base to fund their own campaigns and hide the financial trail. More will be forthcoming, but it isn't difficult to understand. This is some scary stuff coming down in Canada, and we got to watch this, because you can bank that they didn't learn this on their own. I mean, the elections in the States were rigged. Everybody knows that. Things are not looking so good in Canada either. We've got our own problems. Got a black ice warning for you. Black ice. Virus writers have created a third mobile phone virus capable of replicating via MMS messages. The Mabby worm, which targets Symbian Series 60 phones, is not spreading. But its ability to propagate via multimedia messaging systems, MMS, gives it cause for concern. The Mabir is essentially a variant of the K-beer worm, which spreads only over Bluetooth with added MMS functionality. An analysis of the worm by antivirus firm F-Secure suggests that Mabir A is based on the same source code as Kabir and is likely the product of the same coder. So if you text, it's spread by text messaging. So that's something you want to be aware of, you know, in today's day and age. How long before we get antivirus software for our phones? I mean, I'm sure that's under development right now. It's just it's such a new and emergent technology that they're not really sure what to do with that. And fake ID with gummy bears. A Japanese cryptographer has demonstrated how fingerprint recognition devices can be fooled using a combination of low-cunning, cheap kitchen supplies and a digital camera. First, Kitsumo Matsumoto used gelatin, as found in gummy bear and other sweets, and plastic to create a fake finger. Then he fooled the fingerprint detector 4 times out of 5. Flush with success, he took his latent fingerprints from a glass, which he enhanced using cyanocrylate adhesive superglue fumes, and photographed it with his digital camera. Using Photoshop, he improved the contrast of the image and printed the fingerprint onto a transparency sheet. Here comes the clever bit. Matsubo took a photosensitive printed circuit board, which can be found in many electronic hobby shops, and used the fingerprint's transparency to etch the fingerprint onto copper. From there, he made a gelatin fingerprint using the print on the PCB, using the same process as before. Again, this fooled fingerprint detectors about 80% of the time. Now, there's lots of ways to lift prints. This one's a little bit more complex, but all you got to do, as I did, I've done links on Hack of the Day on how to defeat these. Very, very scary. Biometrics are bad, so it's good to know how to defeat these things. And I'm not the only one who says so. Civil liberties groups have condemned the EU study of possible social impact of biometric technologies, including fingerprint, iris, and face recognition, as technologically determinist, and says it puts economics and profits far above liberties and privacy. The report from European Unions, mind you, it's a PDF, so you'll be tracked while you read it, joined Research Center from the European Union's Joint Research Center, the JRC, describes biometrics as inevitable and necessary. The report concludes that if biometrics is going to be the technology du jour, Europe might as well be on the forefront of the field and get stuck in selling the stuff as quickly as possible. According to civil liberties campaigners, State Watch points to grave reservations, quote-unquote, held by experts in the field. For example, professor of law at Brussels University, Paul De Hert, notes that technology systems are not properly understood, so that makes them massively insecure and can be defeated by gummy bears. He wrote, there are no empirical data about the current performance of the existing systems, and there are no precise data about why new systems and facilities are needed. So why do we have them? I mean, come on now. This is just, has technology run so far away from itself that we're going to just biometrically, you know, attack everyone and make sure that not only we got RFID, we got a biometric, we'll just hook you right into the machine. At some point, this is going to crash. Better be ready for it. Today's daily hack is 10 ways in which you can beat the system. This is from Guerrilla News Network, and it's good stuff. Infuriated by junk mail? Sick of losing money to vending machines? Fed up with train delays? Researchers this week suggested that call center customers are learning new ways to fight vents to customer. Let's try that again. Researchers this week suggested that call center customers are learning new ways to fight back against shoddy service. Leo Benedictus explains how you can turn the tables on big business. How often you do this and how truthful you are is your business. But if businesses and core politicals aren't ethical, then why should you be when dealing with them? Which is a good point, but on the other hand, we are the good guys. You have to bear that in mind. And that's all I got for you today. But don't worry, I'll be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight. And they are Forley, Dave, the Grey Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Diremute, Justin, Charles, Matthew, Lars, Eric, Alan, and the new subscribers joining in the war. The reinforcements are Druid Y, Samaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much, guys, for joining in the fight. And if you would like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to our recon troop, the hard netrunners bringing us the data, No Delete, Sylvanus, Syntax, Druid Y, Samaru, Mobile Digit, Bonsai Poppy, Digital Rogue, Nalos, Ricky Rocket, Enblue, Dead Code, The Boon, Rainstreak, Sergeant Tibbs, Helgon, Soeb, Valerian, Mega, Progman, Binary Blitz, and I think I got Dark Nature twice. No, Dark Nature again. No, he was up in there because he's really fighting. He's giving money and he's finding stories. What a guy. Digital Baptism today. Unnamed one is now Antibone. Way to go, buddy. You're on your own. Don't tell anyone who you are. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel, that's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L, at rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, be sure to check out a really wild, dark album by ConfigSys called Gravity Probe. It's a little bit different, but that's what you expect on the show. And I'm going to leave you now with a great track from someone I feel is one of the greatest modern lyricists alive today, Roger Waters, from his album Amused to Death, and it's the song The Bravery of Being Out of Range. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Definitely.